This is a presentation of LifePoint Church. Our mission is to make gospel-centered disciples of Jesus Christ. For more information, please visit sharethelife.org.
As Wes mentioned, we're in a series talking about durable faith. And we need durable faith. And if your faith could be personified, if you could see your faith like as a person, what would your faith look like? And this year, maybe your faith is looking bruised and beaten, bandaged and scuffed. Maybe your faith looks like a disinterested toddler fidgeting and looking elsewhere. Maybe your faith looks sad and discouraged. It's been a difficult year. And that's why we've had this series to talk about practices, rhythms, habits of our lives that position us to receive God's grace and build durable faith. Today we turn to one of the most powerful means of God's grace to us, and that's belonging to his body. Right here, this community of believers is actually a powerful means of God's grace. We'll look at that for the next 3 weeks, and we're going to look at one particular facet of that means of God's grace as we gather. We aim to build durable faith. Today I want to look at someone who had incredibly durable faith. As I look at the scriptures, I don't see anybody who's endured maybe more other than Jesus Christ himself, and this is the Apostle Paul. Think about his faith. He's commissioned by God to share the gospel, and that meant that he would be hated, persecuted, imprisoned repeatedly, nearly stoned to death, and shipwrecked, not once, but twice. What would Paul's faith look like, as you would expect? I mean, twice. God says, I want you to go do something for me. I'm with you. And by the way, as you go and do it, when you're floating on the Mediterranean Sea, your ship's going down not once, but twice in the ocean. What would that do to your faith if you were human? This is what Paul has to say about that. And the letter we're looking at today is 2 Timothy. This is one of the last letters Paul will ever write. In the letter itself, he anticipates his own death as he is in prison. He knows he's going to be martyred. And he's writing one last farewell letter to his spiritual son, Timothy, who he cares about deeply, deeply. And this is his farewell letter. What kind of letter would you write from prison knowing you are about to die? What would you say? What words would you choose to write? Well, Paul describes his own faith this way in verse 6 of chapter 4. He says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, an image of suffering, and the time of my departure, that is my death, has come." It's at hand. I'm going to die. And Paul is able to say this about his faith, his durable faith. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. Do you see it there in verse 6, chapter 4? That's durable faith. Durable faith in prison, about to die. Faith that fights and faith that finishes all the way to the end. I want that faith. I want that. Don't you? Don't you want to be able to say that with Paul in prison looking at death? He's got durable faith. So Paul's about to die and he wants to pass on an exhortation to his spiritual son, Timothy. And at the start of chapter 4, he gives Timothy the central charge of this letter. And he could not have more preamble before this charge to try and highlight and magnify the importance of what he is about to say. Look at it with me. Look in the text with me. Chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. Look at this preamble. I charge you, and then he could just get to what he's charging. But look at all the preamble. I charge you, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus. God is my witness. He's seen what I'm about to charge you, and he will see whether or not you do it. And this God, who is the judge of the living and dead, Paul's saying, Timothy, this charge is not flippant, it's not silly, it's not my opinion. Life and death and judgment are at stake in this charge. He's raising the stakes. And he keeps going. And by his appearing and his kingdom, Christ has come, he's coming again, he will rule, and you're accountable. So I'm charging you with this. And he wants to give Timothy this central focus. Look, Timothy, this is the aim. If you do nothing else in your ministry, this is the thing to focus on. This is the practice. This is the habit. This is the rhythm that's most important. Make it central to your ministry. And I'm looking. I want to know. What's he going to say to Timothy? I charge you to build a big church. I charge you to have charisma, eloquence. I charge you to have vision, an inspiring vision that catalyzes people. I charge you to build organizational culture. I charge you to build healthy teams. I charge you, Timothy, to have this kind of focus. And I'm thinking, surely it's going to be one of these. I mean, what, cure cancer, end world hunger, with this kind of preamble. But this is all he says. Timothy, preach the word. That kind of preamble. And that's it? That's most important. Preach the word. Really? Really? Would you guess that that would be a dying man's charge? And the most important thing that he would say to his predecessor, preach the word. That's it. Now, if you're surprised by that, like me, maybe it's because our experience doesn't match the level and gravity of the preamble, right? Because you show up to church and you're in it right now, and this is the 30 minutes you're trying to stay awake for. Right? Come on. I can say that because I sit out there too, right? This is the 30 minutes that you're trying to like think about your grocery shopping list, because if you get there before the other big churches get out at like King Supers, you can get all your grocery shopping done right away. Preaching? That's it, Paul. Your dying words. I suspect that our experience does not match the magnitude of Paul's charge and the importance of preaching for the kingdom of God, because of our confusion or lack of clarity about the very nature of preaching. What am I doing right now? What are you doing right now? Why are we here? What is this about? Why preaching? If we miss this, the nature of what preaching is, we'll show up Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, disappointed and missing the mark. And so I have to be clear. I got to be crystal clear, because I got to stand up here and preach. And you will be here Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. If you're a faithful Christian, you will come to church and listen to thousands of sermons in a lifetime. And we had better be crystal clear. Why is this so important to Paul? Why is it his central charge? So here's where we're going. I want to know the answers to these questions. What is preaching? Let's see what the Bible says. Why is preaching a means of building up durable faith? Why would we include preaching in a series on spiritual disciplines? That's strange. Have you heard a preacher talk about preaching? We're talking about preaching. What is preaching? Why does it build up durable faith? And finally, how can we listen such that our faith is built up? That's where we're going. And let's see it in the text together. First, what is preaching? Chapter 4, verse 2, look at the word with me. It says, preach the word. That word right there for preach, if you read the New Testament, you're going to see that word pop up over and over and over again. It's very common. In fact, this specific word for preach appears 32 times in the Gospels alone. This word for preach means to proclaim. It can be used without its direct object of the gospel, or other times it is used with that direct object, but it is to proclaim. And if you look at that particular word, there's actually a noun form of that same word, proclaimer, or a better word could be herald, herald. That's what a preacher should do, herald. And it points to the very nature of what preaching is. Now, one of the best illustrations I've heard of this, I've seen it, David Mathis points it out in his book. He gets it from John Piper, who uses this illustration over and over and over again in his ministry. And he'll tell it something like this. He'll say, a herald is like this. A herald is not a teacher. A herald doesn't give TED Talks. They're not a comedian. And they're not an inspiring, inspirational speaker. Motivational. That's not a herald. This is what a herald does. A herald represents a king who has conquered the globe. And the herald gets on his horse and he brings with him the king's message. And he rides into a city and he gathers all the people. Hear ye, message from the king. And they gather together in the town square and the herald opens the king's scroll. It is his writing, his signature, and his seal on the scroll. And the herald declares with that authority what the king has to say. He's not simply teaching. He's not here for a lecture. He doesn't hand out a syllabus. This isn't a 10-minute TED Talk. And there's probably not a lot of laughing because he is proclaiming what the king has said. And this is what the herald says. He says, hear ye, listen, behold. The king I represent is sovereign over the world and you. You have rebelled against this king. You've sinned against him. And I come declaring to you that you must turn in faith to him. But I have great news. Though this king rules, he has supplied the very means and way and paid the price himself for you to be a part of his kingdom. No. What's more, people, listen. You don't just be a part of the kingdom. You get to be in the king's family. Turn to him and you will be called sons and daughters. Let those who have ears hear. That's a herald. That's what we're doing right now. I'm not teaching. There is teaching. You're going to learn things when we look at God's word, but I'm not primarily here to teach. I am here to preach, to proclaim, to herald. That, if we get that right when we show up to church, that changes how you listen to a sermon. Or thousands of them. And this is what Paul wants Timothy to do. All the preamble, he says, Timothy, I want you to preach the word. That is what preaching is. So how then does preaching build our faith? That's what I want to know. Why are we talking about preaching in a series about spiritual disciplines? Is this really a spiritual discipline, what you're doing right now? Is it a habit and rhythm for receiving God's grace? I'll say this. Preaching, amazingly, stunningly, even at times it perplexes me, but God has designed that faith would come through the hearing of the word. That's what I'm going to argue. And it's all over Scripture. The way God has designed that faith would come to you, that you would have faith and strengthen your faith, is through hearing the word. Look at how it says this in this text, in the immediate context, and we'll go to cross-references. 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're backing up in verse 3 for a little context, all the way up to verse 14 of chapter 3. Look with it, with me. You got to see it. It's not on the screen. Look here. Verse 14. But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned. You had to hear something preached, heard, and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you've learned it, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with what? The sacred writings. That's the context for when he says preach the word. He means the sacred writings. You've been acquainted with these, which are what? Okay, this is amazing. Look at this statement. What are the sacred writings and hearing them able to produce in Timothy? Which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. There it is. It's right there. What produced faith in Timothy? The Spirit through the hearing of the word and the response of faith in Christ. And that's why Paul can say all Scripture is breathed out by God. It's living. It's inspired. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. This is God's ordained means of faith. Other scriptures make it even more clear repeatedly. Let's look at 1 Peter 1, 23 and 25. 1 Peter, puts it this way. Since you have been born again, that's Jesus' language for saving faith. That's salvation right there. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, this word, through the living and abiding word of God. Notice the word through. You have been born again, you're saved through what? The living and abiding word of God. And to make it even more clear, the very next verse. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. I did not pick this. This is God's design. It's right here. He says it again in Romans 10, 14. Paul speaking, in the context, it's that famous passage about who can hear unless someone preaches, and who will preach unless they're sent, and how good are the feet of those who preach good news. And then he says in verse 17, so faith comes from hearing. And hearing through the word of Christ. Faith is awakened through this. That's amazing to me. That God would entrust his infallible, inerrant word to a fragile, broken human who'll speak it. And faith awakens. That makes me tremble. That makes me stand under the warning from Scripture that not many of us should become teachers, as we will be judged with greater strictness. I tremble at handling this. I want to rightly handle it. Because hearing awakens faith. Not only does it awaken it the first time that you're saved, but we keep preaching the gospel week in and week out, because it's actually the means that your faith is strengthened, not just awakened. This is how your faith is strengthened. Look at all of the context of this text. Verse 4, he charges him in verse 2 of chapter 4, preach the word, and look at what the word preached produces. This isn't for believers. Look at this. He says, be ready in season and out of season. That means at all times you're preaching, whether people are listening or not, whether they encourage you or not, whether you're persecuted or not, all seasons. To do what? This preaching will reprove, it exposes our sin. To rebuke, to be warned, to obey and change, repent, and to be exhorted, encouraged with complete patience over the long haul, and yes, including teaching, unpacking what this proclamation means. That's for believers. Believers are reproved, rebuked, and exhorted. This proclamation, this preaching actually not only awakens your faith, it strengthens your faith. And it is God's appointed means that that should happen. Awakening faith and strengthening faith. God could have sent a memo. Couldn't he? He could just in writing, or just the word. Why not just the word? Why don't we just read for 30 minutes? We would get through a lot more scripture. He's appointed that his word would come to life in a living soul inhabited by the Spirit, that faith would be awakened and strengthened, and ultimately that he would be worshiped. This is stunning. If we recognize the very nature of preaching and what is happening, that this is not some TED talk, that something not just natural is happening right now, but supernatural, that changes how we come to church and sit under preaching, myself included. How is preaching producing durable faith? It awakens faith, it strengthens faith. And then we see this as Paul turns in this text. Weekly preaching fosters submitting to truth rather than selecting truth. Weekly preaching, let me unpack this. Weekly preaching fosters submitting to truth rather than simply selecting truth. Look at verse 3. Paul warns Timothy, "For the time is coming when people will not," I love this word, look at this word, "endure sound teaching." Not just listen. I love that he says that, because do you feel that? Some weeks, week after week after week of listening to sermons, you need to endure sound teaching. Not just listen to it. It takes perseverance. And he says people will give up. They'll throw in the towel. They'll stop coming to church. They'll hit pause on the live stream and go somewhere else. Why? Why will they do that? Because they have itching ears. And they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. This is why I say that weekly preaching fosters submitting to truth that you didn't get to pick. We didn't take a vote on what Zach should preach today. Did you? Did we, like, for 2 Timothy 1 out? You didn't get to select that. You came and you have to sit under this word that was pre-selected. Oh, but people will not endure it. And they'll get itching ears and long to accumulate teachers for themselves. This was a problem in Paul's day that required someone to literally physically get up as Paul was preaching, say, "That's nice, but no thank you." They would have to travel with sandals to somebody else and sit down and listen to their preaching. There was no pause. There was no record. They didn't have MP3s. There was no internet. If this was a problem then, how much worse is it a problem now? Oh, it is far easier for us to accumulate people to tell us what we want to hear. And that is the danger of selection. This is subtle. This is subtle. This is how often church hopping will happen, right? You go to church and you're selecting, you're looking for something. I want to be entertained. And this preacher's boring. Or I want to laugh, and so the preacher's not funny. Or I want to learn. I've come here to learn. It's not deep enough. Yeah, because I want information. I want to accumulate more and more and more information. And I'm looking for teachers to suit my desires. Do you see how subtle this is? This is subtle. This is subtle and dangerous, Paul says. This is the challenge of showing up week in and week out, belonging to a body, committing to walk through the scriptures together, and you don't get to select what you listen to. I might call this, and this is very subtle, so I'm going to put away the hammer for a second, and I'm going to pull out a scalpel, and I'm going to be precise. So you, now you need to listen even closer, otherwise you'll be offended. I see a danger in having a podcast pastor. And I say that as one who is currently being recorded, and this sermon will be available by Monday. And there's a danger. You know what's so dangerous about that? And here, now hear this, hear the balance. There's great things. You should listen to great preaching. Yes and amen. Lots of it. Digest it, eat it, get hungry for the word. That is good. But if you do that apart from belonging to a local church, that podcast pastor doesn't know who you are. He has no idea who you are. He doesn't know what you're struggling with. You can just do it by yourself. You don't have to belong to people. You don't have to put into practice what you're learning in the context of community. And in fact, the people you're doing life with aren't even learning the same things along with you, because you're just selecting. And even more dangerously, as soon as you get to a sermon that you don't like, guess what you can do? You hit pause. Whoop, swipe. Don't like him. I'm going to go to something else to accumulate teachers, to satisfy my passions and my itching ears. Scalpel, caution, it's dangerous. And that's why for me, so folks, years ago in college, I had a long commute, 45 minutes to become a math teacher. And I listened to sermons by this preacher who had survived terminal brain cancer. And his preaching shaped and formed my faith quite a bit. But I was struck by something remarkable. Every sermon I heard recorded from him, he would come on for 2 minutes and tell you why you can listen to this resource, and you should belong to a local church and sit under local preaching. That guy's name is Matt Chandler, megachurch pastor, who says every week to this day, hey, you can listen to this resource, make sure it supplements you belonging to a local body and sitting underneath faithful biblical preaching week in and week out. Because he recognizes the danger of a podcast pastor. And it's why God has designed that we would gather together as a community, known by one another and sitting underneath the preaching of God's word every week. Why is it a means of God's grace? Because faith is awakened from hearing the word of God. It's strengthened from hearing the word of God. And sitting under weekly preaching fosters submitting to truth that you didn't get to select versus choosing what you want to accumulate for yourself. How then should we listen to sermons? I use the word listen very intentionally because Paul uses the word listen here in this text. He says in verse 4 of chapter 4, these people will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. That would be eternally tragic. That would not just be like, oh, I missed that. I wasn't paying attention. But that could be eternally tragic. Those who shut their ears off to truth, shut their ears off to faith, shut their ears off to relationship with God forever. That is deadly. And so we must learn to listen to the truth. And this is where my responsibility ends and your responsibility begins. Because communication requires both speaking and listening. How should we listen to sermons? I want to suggest that we need to learn to listen to the living word together. That's one statement I'm going to unpack as we close. Learn to listen to the living word together. First, the word together. Why do I say together? And it's this point I've been harping on, is that we must first belong to a body. Be known here. If you show up and you're on the fringe, thank you for being here. If you're checking us out on the live stream, thank you for being here. If you want preaching to become a means of God's grace in your life such that your faith is built up, belong to people here. Does someone have your phone number that could text you? If not, I don't know that you belong here deeply yet. And if you belong, we get to journey together and learn together God's word and then apply it to our lives, sharpen one another together as we learn together under God's word. First, belong to the body. Learn to listen to the living word together. Why do I say the word? I say open the book. Open the book. Do I not say this every time I step up here? Sometimes I say put your eyeballs on the text, because I'm a herald and the only authority that I have is to the degree that what I say is what this says. Anything else? Rubbish. Worthless. Would you want to listen to a 12-year-old talk about his ideas and opinions? This is the authority. And so I beg every week, please open the word. And to the degree that you see these truths and God's Spirit awakens that insight into this word, that is how our faith will be built up. That's listening to the living word together. And finally, I say we must listen to the living word. And this comes all the way back to how I began this message. How do you show up to this? What are we doing? What's the aim of you sitting right now listening to me with this text in between us? And this is our aim. Assume that the living God of the universe is speaking. You know, some people say, like, I've never heard God before. Never heard God. I can't hear him. And I get what they're saying. They mean like audibly. They haven't heard the voice of God. And I think in response to that, look, you haven't heard God. He wrote a whole book. This is his word. The God of the universe has spoke, and he wrote it down so that centuries later we can hear God. If you come with that aim, assuming that I'm coming to church today to encounter the living God, I'm not here for a TED talk or a lecture or to be entertained. I'm here to meet God in his word through a fragile, broken man preaching. That changes how we listen, doesn't it? And I believe it with every fiber of my being, that we are here to worship and encounter the living God through the living word. Ryan Fullerton, just to emphasize this, he sums it up this way. What is preaching? In his book on preaching, he says this. Preaching occurs when a man of God opens the word of God and says to the people of God, come. Come and experience God with me in the text. And that's what I'm doing right now. I'm saying, people of God, come with me. Come, look, this is amazing. Let's experience God together right here in the text. And this is what happens when we take that position. Not only do we interact with the word of God, we interact with the Word, Jesus Christ. John 1:1, this is the Word, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ himself, the living, breathing, coming to earth to preach and preach and preach. Did not Jesus Christ himself come to do that? Did he not show up into every town in Galilee and Judea, and he's opening a scroll and he's saying, I'm here as a messenger of God to declare to you the kingdom of God is here. Repent and believe. But here's what is totally, stunningly unique about this preacher, Jesus. He is unlike any preacher that has ever walked the earth. This preacher, this messenger, was himself the message. Incarnate, in body, the messenger proclaims, good news is here. God has saved you through the death of his son, and I am him. I've come that you might have life, and I'll die your death so that you might live. The messenger is the message. The one who preaches the word was the word, and it's Jesus every week who we will hold up and look to and see Jesus right here, the living word, as we worship him and admire what he's done. This is why we preach, to build durable faith. Let's now pray together that God would do that. Lord, I was praying even just this morning, that Puritan prayer, that I'm asking, Lord, would you not let me be defective with such a noble purpose to handle your words? The weight of that responsibility is crippling, absolutely smothering. And yet you designed it that way, and you've given us your spirit. You've given me your spirit, that this weak, broken jar of clay could hold a treasure of infinite value and worth. So, Father, I'm pleading and asking, would you come in power now? Would you change the way we show up to church, that we would be a formed people, a shaped people, that LifePoint would be of a community of people that look and act and think and behave just like Jesus, because we encounter you, Jesus, in your word every week. Awaken faith today, Lord, for those who don't believe in you. Strengthen our faith for those that are walking with you, that you might be honored today in the proclamation of your word. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is a presentation of LifePoint Church. Our goal is to encourage and equip people to become fully developing followers of Christ. For more information, please visit sharethelife.org.